If you have your Bibles this morning, I would love for you to find the book of Luke, the chapter number 24, Luke chapter 24. If you do not have a Bible this morning, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. I did put the text in the bulletin if you would like to be able to follow along as we read our scripture. I would beg you to be able to see the Bible in some fashion, whether it be in the bulletin or your own copy of God's Word. Thank you for being in our service today. What a great opportunity it is for a preacher to preach on Easter Sunday. I guess if there's a favorite Sunday to preach, it's Easter Sunday. If you can't preach on Easter Sunday, you got problems. And what a message that we have to preach on Easter Sunday morning. I told the 8:30 service that I have two goals today. I've asked God to help us with in our service. I want God to open up the eyes of people that do not know the Lord today. I'm asking God to open up eyes to truth, open up eyes to the love of God, opening up eyes to who Christ is and the value and the preciousness He is to your life. And you may not know anything about the gospel. You may not know anything about salvation. You may not know anything about heaven or eternal life. And I'm just asking God if He would open up your eyes today, stir your heart, and let you see that God loves you. And by the way, God does love mankind. And I want you to see His glory, how glorious He is, and the gospel of Christ. And so I'm asking God to do that. I'm pretty good at closing your eyes. So I'm asking God to open your eyes. Matter of fact, I'm asking your neighbor to help open their eyes if they need it just a little bit. And then secondly, to the believer, I'm asking God to kind of water our eyes. Water our eyes, Pastor? Yeah, I mean, I don't want you to break out in a blood-curdling scream, but I sure would love for us to fall more in love with the Lord Jesus today. And I sure would hope and pray that as we see the love of God and the work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection this morning, that it would bring a freshness and a newness to our lives as God's people. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I'm saved. If you're glad you're saved, say amen. I'm going to love the Lord. And so I'm asking Him to do those two things. I'm preaching a message entitled, The Proofs of the Empty Tomb. The Proofs of the Empty Tomb. And I know that there's probably an innumerable amount of proofs that a preacher could dig up out of the Word of God. I only have time for three today. And I think I found three great proofs in the chapter 24 of the book of Luke. And I want to be able to read 12 verses to you. And I want to preach you these proofs. And I hope that these proofs God will use to prove His love and mercy and grace in your life. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke. All four gospel writers deal with the resurrection of Christ. All four gospel writers deal with it in a little different view. Luke had a day job. His day job was he was a physician, a doctor. If you're a doctor here, you and Luke have something in common. Luke, when he wrote about the Lord Jesus, he wrote a gospel designed to prove to the world that Jesus was the Son of Man. Now that title is important in the life of Christ. It's important in your life as well. John wrote a gospel that says that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke wrote one and said He's the Son of Man. Well, Pastor, do they contradict one another? No, they complete one another. They complement one another. We know Jesus to be the Son of God, yea, God Himself. But we needed a Son of Man. You see, Adam was a man that took the world into sin. And there needed to be a man that could come and take the world out of sin. When Adam sinned in the garden, sin came upon the earth. And sin, therefore, is in the life of everyone that's ever been born from Adam. And you can go on Ancestry.com. Have you seen that website? Let me save you a little money. Okay? I'll help you with this. When you type in Ancestry.com, the final destination is a man and a woman called Adam and Eve. That's where you came from. Okay? Leave your check and money order in the office and that'll be fine. Okay? So everyone born from Adam and Eve, which is all of us in this room, okay? We were born with a sinful nature. And so Adam took man into sin. had not there come a man to take us out, we could not celebrate salvation. We could not know salvation in our heart. We could not know the forgiveness of our sin. And so God looked among all of humanity, and God could find no man that was sinless. So the Father sent the Son, the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus became a man. He was found in fashion as a man, and he was born through the virgin's womb of Mary. And the man Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, the sinless Son of God and sinless Son of Man, walked upon this earth. He was the perfect blending of God and man. And that man went to the cross and died for our sin. That man, when he hung on the cross shedding his blood, God looked at that blood and saw that it was sinless and received it as an atonement for the sin of everyone in this room and around the world. That man they put in that tomb, and that man 3 days later up from the grave he arose. And today that man is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so Jesus is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. And Luke, as a physician, was so captivated on the humanity of Christ that he deals a lot with his emotion and on his health and on his strength and so on and so forth as you read the book of Luke. So he presents to us the risen man, Christ Jesus, in chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. And I think there's three proofs here. The first proof is found in verses 1 to 5. Now, upon the first day of the week, by the way, this is free. It doesn't cost you anything. That's why we go to church on Sunday. You ever wondered why we go to church on Sunday? Well, Pastor, I thought there was football in church. I thought God created it that way. You go to church, you watch the NFL. No, we go to church on Sunday because that's the day the Lord resurrected from the dead. And so that may teach you something. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, those ladies are listed down there in verse number 10. We'll get there in a moment. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found what, class? Not the body of the Lord Jesus. I love verse number 4 because the Bible's got a sense of humor. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. Absolutely. If you went to the graveyard just today and you dug up the body of your loved one or of your grandfather or of your grandmother or of your mom or dad or of your child and you opened up that box and their body was not there, you would be perplexed. And after a lawsuit, very wealthy. And so that would be a perplexion. So they go to the tomb. They're expecting to see a body there. They're expecting to anoint this body with those spices, as was custom, because they were limited in what they could do as far as the Passover coming and so on and so forth. And when they got there and the stone was rolled away and there was no body inside the tomb, they were perplexed, as you would be as well. Verse number 4. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are called angels. And as they were afraid, not the angels, bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the what? Living among the dead. And so when they get to the grave and they're perplexed about the stone being rolled away, they're perplexed about no body being there, the angels ask them a question. And the question was kind of designed to poke them a little bit. Kind of a question that goes like, are you going to eat all of that? That's the question that's kind of designed to poke just a little bit. The angel asked them, why in the world would you be seeking the living among the dead? And so the very first proof of the empty tomb is a proof that may sound profound to you, but I'm going to tell you, it's very personal to you. And the proof is Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive. He's living. How important this is, because had not Jesus rose from the dead, you and I would go to hell. Had he not rose from the dead, he would not be God. Had he not rose from the dead, it doesn't matter if he died on a million crosses. A dead Jesus cannot save you. The book of Romans chapter 5, verse number 10 says that by his death we were justified, but by his life we are saved. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he died to pay for the sin of the world, for your sin and my sin. But my friend, that gospel record is not complete without the resurrection of the body of Christ. And so Jesus Christ had to rise from the dead to save us from our sin. And praise the Lord, he did rise from the dead. He is alive. Now, I want you to understand something. Because he's alive, he's personal. Our world has been deceived by something called religion. And you might be here today and you're frustrated with religion. I got news for you. All religion will do is frustrate you. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever offer anybody religion. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever ask you to pursue religion. Nowhere in the Bible does God ever say that religion will help you. All religion will do is damn your soul. You heard me, right? All religion will do is damn your soul. Why? Because all religion does is it tells you, you better do this or this is going to happen. You better be this or you won't be this. One of the old Bible preachers said it this way. He said, all religion is man's effort to reach up to God. Religion puts God as an ogre over here and says, you better measure up somehow and win my affection or win my love. Nobody has to win the love of God. God is love. Okay? So no wonder a man would say, well, religion's not for me. Well, I got news for you. Religion's not for me either. And what the gospel of Christ and what the Easter announcement is to you personally is not some invitation for some religious crutch. I hear that sometimes. Well, Pastor, you might need religion. You might need some kind of crutch. You might need this. No, my friend, it's not religion. What the Easter announcement is offering you is a relationship. It's offering you a personal relationship with the living God. It's offering you a personal truth and understanding of God in your heart. And so when Jesus died on that cross, dying for our sin and was buried, and he resurrected from the dead, this is our opportunity to have a personal relationship with the living Lord. The proof of the empty tomb is that Jesus is alive. Now, the devil hates that, so he tries to cast some shadows. And some of the shadows that are being cast about today, I feel like on Easter morning, I could defend the Lord a little bit. Sometimes a fool will tell you Jesus didn't really die. And what they'll tell you is that, well, they call it the swoon theory. Have you ever heard the swoon theory? S-W, a million O's N. Swoon theory. When Jesus was beat to a bloody pulp on that cross, he somehow passed out. And when they somehow took him down from the cross and they put him in that cold, wet, dark, damp tomb, that somehow it acted like a hyperbaric and it kind of revived him back. My friends, that's a lie and a sin against God. Jesus didn't just swoon. He died. They took him from the cross. They knew he was dead. And he had to die because the Bible says the wages of sin is what, class? Death. Once again, if Jesus didn't die, nobody in this room is going to heaven. Nobody ever is going to heaven. How would we get there? There had to be a payment for our sin. Well, Pastor, I'm a good boy. I've done a lot of good works. I'm going to get there on my own merit. No. No. Because that's not how it works. God, there had to be the payment for your sin. And so Jesus did die. Then they want to say, well, his body was stolen and he didn't really resurrect. If they can't defeat the death, they'll try to defeat the resurrection. But my friend, he did resurrect that morning. Another proof about Jesus being alive is that he appeared to many, over 500. He ate with them and talked with them. You can talk about Jesus being alive as you look at the change in the life of the disciples. They were cowards prior to his death. Afterwards, they had such conquering ability. Why? They had seen the resurrected Lord. I think there's another proof today of Jesus living. That's our lives. If Jesus lives in your heart, say amen. He changed your life. There are drunkards in here. There are men that were filled with pride. There are women in here that were whatever. There were people where our lives were headed in one direction. And my friend, we did not get religion. We got a Lord and Savior, and he's way better than religion. The first proof of the empty tomb is that Jesus Christ is alive. The second proof is found in verses 6 to 8. Powerful proof here in chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. The angel said, "He is not here, but is risen." What's that next word? Remember. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his what? Words. Proof number two. Not only is he living, he's not a liar. He's not a liar. I hope and pray you have not let somebody tell you that Jesus Christ is a liar. The Bible says, "Let all men be liars, but let God be true." Jesus did not lie to the world, and the empty tomb is the proof. So let me ask you a question. What if a man came on the national scene and he stood in front of the world and he said this, "Kill me, and in 3 days I'll rise again." Excuse me? Kill me, and in 3 days I'll rise again. Now, what in the world is the world going to want to do? Kill him. Kill him. If some fool is going to come and say, "Kill me, and I'll rise again," kill him. Couldn't you just see Channel 7? Couldn't you just see CNN? Couldn't you just see Fox News? Can't you see all the trucks and the towers and the antennas and all the reports? "I'm Tom Hunter reporting to you today from the tomb of the fool that we just killed. We're waiting for 3 days for him to rise again as the world is captivated. We're tweeting, we're twittering, we're doing all of these things." If it's Channel 7, there'll be a South Florida connection somewhere to this. There's always a South Florida connection to Channel 7. Always. South Florida connection. We're waiting to see. And Pinterest will have a camera on there. People will be tuning in from everywhere. The whole world will be watching. In 3 days. Well, we're sad to report to you today that this man has not risen from the dead. But tune in next week to see what happens. Well, I got news for you. There was a man that said, "Destroy this temple," speaking of his body, "and I'll build it in 3 days. There was a man that said, "I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again." And they killed him, and they put him in the tomb. And 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. Now, there's no trucks. There's no CNN. There's no Fox News. There's no social media. There's no camera. Matter of fact, most of the world hates the fact that he resurrected. Because it is, don't miss this, Romans chapter 1, verse number 4 says that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by the power of the resurrection. You go look at the tomb of Muhammad, he's in the box, buddy. You go find Confucius, he's in the box. You go find any world leader. You go find anybody that declared themselves to be God. And when they died, their body is in the box. You go look at my Savior's tomb. There's no body in the box. He's not a liar. Please listen to this, pastor. I don't know you very well. But if you're visiting with us, don't you let somebody tell you that Jesus is not truthful. Now, here's the point. If he wasn't lying about life and death matters, then everything else he said must be true. So when Jesus said, "He created you," he created you. When Jesus said, "You must be born again," you must be born again. When Jesus said he could be your strength and your joy, when he said he could give you peace, when Jesus said everything that he said, it must be true. The reason the world doesn't want this anywhere is because this is the true and living Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. Now, it's one thing to make promises when you're alive. When you get 18, I'm going to buy you a car. Promise a dad makes. But when that kid is 17, that dad is killed. Every promise you make ends at your death. Jesus made his promises in his life, and they have been fulfilled after his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah, what a God we serve. The proof is he's living, and he's not a liar. The third proof, not only is he living, and not only is he not a liar, but he's the Lord. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. Now look at verse number 11. And their words seemed to them as what, class? Idle tales. And they believed them not. So they go down to the, Mary and those girls go down to the tomb. The stone is rolled away. The body is not there. The angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember what he said? He said he was going to be crucified, he would be buried, and he'd rise again the third day. He's not a liar. Now they go back to tell the disciples and these other ones the truth. And when they hear it, it seems like idle tales to them. And so fairy tale and so idolish is it that they don't believe. And that may be like you today. Now look at the pastor just a moment. This may not be the first message you've ever heard. Maybe you're here and you know, okay, there is a God. Yes, God did die on the cross, and yes, he did resurrect, and I'm here to celebrate that. And I have a foundation of certain things, but Pastor, I just can't believe that. And the reason I can't believe that is that it just seems like an idle tale. It's okay, Pastor, if you want to believe that, and you might need that, and that might bless you. But I just can't. I need more than that. I don't work that way, and so on and so forth. And so when you hear about the gospel, you hear about your sin, you hear about heaven, you hear about hell, you hear about God's love, you hear about what Christ did for you, it just kind of seems like it's an idle tale. And really, it's brought you to the same place that brought these people. Pastor, I just don't believe that. Okay. But understand this. Whether you believe it or not, the proof is Jesus Christ is the Lord. Now, the Bible says that the resurrection of Christ proves that he is God. No other man has ever done that. Peter, after the resurrection of the Lord, preached a message, and he preached to the people that crucified Jesus. This is what he said. He said, that same Jesus that you crucified, that same Jesus, God hath made both Lord and Christ. God hath made both Lord and Christ. Who made Jesus the Lord? God did. God did. Now you need to hear this because this is important. Pastor, I just don't believe that. But God made him Lord, and it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Now I'll give you an illustration. I think it's a great one. You're not planning to vote for Mr. Trump. You're not planning to vote for Mrs. Clinton. You're not planning to vote for Mr. Sanders. You're not planning to vote for Mr. Cruz. But let's just be real clear about something. If Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton or Mr. Sanders or Mr. Cruz win a national election and they are voted, they are the president. It doesn't matter if you voted no or not. They're your president. I didn't vote for them. They're not my president. They may be the president over there, but they're not my president. What you're saying is, legally and in government-wise, yes, they're the president. But in my heart and in my nature and in my mind, I will not submit to them as president. Well, if you go to some kind of court of law, your opinion does not trump the law. So go ahead. He's not my Lord. He's not God. I refuse to submit to him. Doesn't matter. God made him the Lord. And he's the Lord. So you can bucket, pout, deny, bitter, fierce. You can move to Switzerland. I kind of hope Mr. Trump gets elected so all of Hollywood moves to Switzerland. Move anywhere in the world you want to go. Call yourself an atheist. Call yourself an agnostic. Call yourself a Buddhist. Call yourself a Baptist. Call yourself a Catholic. Call yourself whatever you want. He is the Lord. Proven because he resurrected from the dead. And Peter said, God made him Lord. Fascinating. Not only did God make him Lord, God was pleased with him being Lord. And here's what God said. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. You see, my friends, the proof that he's the Lord is he rose from the dead. Now, in our society today, nobody wants to humble themselves. We're filled with pride. And nobody wants to bow their knee to the Lord. I got news for you. When I was a little boy, I bowed my knees to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I repent. And the Lord Jesus came into my heart. But that pride that just denies the reality of submission, one day everybody in the world will bow their knee and they will confess with their mouth. Not GD or Jesus Christ this or get the. They will bow their knee and they will say, you are the Lord. And the Bible says that that's done one of two ways in your life. It will either be done by force at the end time or it can be done by faith now. Hallelujah. By faith is way better than force. He's the Lord. God made him the Lord. God declared him that every knee would bow. He also said that there's coming a day when the Lord will be the ultimate victor. Listen, this world thinks it's got everything in line and it thinks that it's headed in a direction. But there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back again. If you're ready for that, say amen. He's coming back. And the Bible says when he comes back to this earth, he won't come as a baby. He's coming as a warrior. He's not coming in a swaddling clothes. He's coming with a vesture dipped in blood. He's coming on a horse and leading armies to take over and to protect Israel and to come against the nations of the world. The Bible says that out of his mouth will come a sharp sword. And the Bible says that he will have on his thigh, King of kings and Lord of lords. Aren't you glad you're on the winning team? He's the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that one day the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with a trump of the archangel. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. All the proofs of the empty tomb. Jesus is living. He is not a liar. And he is the Lord. And by the way, because of his death, burial, and resurrection is evidence that there is life beyond the grave. There's life beyond the grave. And what Easter, one of the messages of Easter is it forces you to look at your life and to know if you died, where would you spend eternity? If you died, what would happen to you? Are you afraid to die? I'm asking you honestly, think about this. Are you afraid to die? Pastor, are you afraid to die? I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to die today. That's why I don't ride with Madison and Casey. They're my teenage daughters. Madison took me to Shake and Steak this week, and boy, did I get shook up. Lord Jesus, protect this vehicle. I don't want to die. You know, when you know the Lord, life is worth the living. But I know this. When I do die, the Lord has me. The Lord has me. When you come to my funeral, my body will be in that box. But I'll be with the Lord. And one day the Lord's going to come and give me a glorified body. 6'4". Hair like Fabio. The good old days. It's going to give me a glorified body. He's the Lord. Christian, do you love your Lord? Christian, is there something between you and your Lord today, or is everything okay between you and your Lord? Sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, I just need a fresh start. Easter Sunday is a great fresh start. He loves you. He died for you. He was buried. And he rose again. He saved you from your sin. He's given you a home in heaven. He's promised to be with you on this earth. He's a great God. He loves you. Do you love him? Do you love him? The proof of the empty tomb. He's alive. He is not a liar. And he's the Lord. And God's people said, amen. Happy Easter. Shall we pray?